Praise the Lord. God is good. Last week I shared with you that there was a word that came from the Lord. For someone, you know, God does use doctors to heal. Amen. It was a quickened word. Amen. Then after that, the person met a specialist, you know. They just talked, then realized that, praise God. Today there's a word from the Lord also. I got a word from the Lord for you. Amen. Praise God. Let's read Malachi 3 verse 10. Bring all your tithes in the storehouse so there'll be enough food in my temple. If you do, says the Lord of heavens, I will open the windows of heaven for you. And that's been fulfilled. He opened up the windows of heaven after Jesus died and rose again. Now pour out a blessing so great you don't have enough room to take it in. If this is still happening today, you bring your tithes to the storehouse, there's food in the house of God. He'll pour out such great blessing, there's not room enough for you. Amen. So, tithings and offerings, right? Bring tithes to receive blessings from heaven, right? And open windows, Jesus' resurrection, open heaven's blessing. Windows of blessings reopen. Conditional prosperity. Blessings depend on tithes and offering. Amen. This is the word that came to someone last Sunday. Tie your way to prosperity. And this person has been tithing. This person is prospering. God has prospered this person greatly. And yet the word came to this person. In other words, you know, to God, He wants to prosper you. There's no limit. Amen. And it's limited by, for example, your ability to earn, make money. Amen. That's one limitation. Second limitation is when the Lord speaks to you to give, specifically you don't, you're asking trouble. This is the word that came. Tie your way to prosperity. You know, 31st December 9, I say quickening. This year is quickening. You want to make your money? You work hard this year, you're going to make a lot of money this year. Quickening, run. That was 31st, but last day was 29. Day 9 and 31st, right? The person just told me, he said, you know, this is the word that came, tie your way to prosperity. So it's God is saying, you know, and I was thinking, you know, when this word came to you, you know, you do tie what, right? So one reason is God's increase. Because to God, there's no limit. Amen. When He wants to prosper us, right? So He still continues to pour out His blessings so great that you won't have enough room to take it in, right? He's not against prospering you. He's against covetousness. It can come to a point whereby there are two things can happen. You become so rich, you become so proud, you look down on others. Two, you begin to covet, right? The millions you have is not enough. You go after the billions. After that, you want to go after the trillions. That's where the problem is. Amen? So God is not against. Now, you always have to ask yourself, when He prospers us, you ask Him, what's your purpose? God has a purpose. Amen? Praise the Lord. So, and this word is a Bible promise because we find it in Malachi chapter 3, verse 10. So it's for everyone. It's not just for that person. So I'm taking it for myself. Amen? So, you know, normally what I do is whatever I invest, the profit, first thing I tie the profit. It's the same thing as there was a farmer, you know. He wanted to prove out tithing works. So he planted a plot of land. When he harvested, he took 10%, he gave it to the church. The remaining, he plowed it back in. Man, eventually, my goodness, he had to buy more land to plant. See? So every time he harvests, he will tithe. The rest, he'll put it back. He'll plow it back. So it's the same. You know, sometimes, you know, your passive income can be this way, right? And you invest, right? When you make the profit, you plow it back. And that's how the one thing God can increase us. Amen? In the area of finances, I have never had problem. I've tithed since I was a student in university. I tithed when I was in Bible school, and God spoke to me, you give $50 to that missionary who just went to Mexico. Then for 2 years, I kept my commitment. So when we're a charismatic church, you know, every month, you know, we tie to mission. And when I left for Bible school, I make sure I finish my commitment. So in U.S., same thing, you know. The student, you know, but student, you know, the Lord said you gave $50 U.S. He was going to Mexico, so I did. And one time the Lord spoke to me, buy this fund. And recently somebody told me, that's a very good fund. He's been giving me constant passive income. And all those early years, I don't splurge. And when you get old, you want to have a lot of passive income, you don't splurge now. Amen. Thank you, Father. God will always, He'll pour out His blessing. You know, whether how much I can earn, it depends on my ability. God is not limited. One time the Lord spoke to Brother Higgins and said, you'll never see the kind of millions, you know. But he retired, his house is worth, that's 20 years ago, his house worth $2 million US already, right? His house alone. Yeah, other assets. But yet God said, you'll never see the kind of hundreds of millions, right? Because you'll never see it because he's a preacher. His books, you know how many millions he sold? If he had take $1 per book, 20 years when I finished Bible school, his books, all his books, already printed English version only, alone. 66 million. Can you imagine if you just take one book, $1 per book, or they say 50 cents per book, he would have 33 million. But every cent he plowed back into the ministry, it goes back into the ministry. 66, but nobody in print, 66 million. That was 20 years ago. But if you go by demand and supply, and that's why I told you, you don't want to read his book. 66 million, there must be something in his book, right? He printed 66 million. And his book last time ranged from $1.50 US to $20 US. You go and book it out. Average it out and see how much, right? But every cent he plowed back into the ministry. Thank you, Jesus. We give you praise. Amen. Actually, the prosperity doctrine brought back by Kenneth Hagin, he was attacked, you know, when he brought it back. It was lost. It's a truth that was lost. So the word of faith revival brought back a lot of truth, which I'm teaching you all. Praise God. Amen. So today is my message in 7 most important things in prayer. But let's pray for the tithes and offering. Pray for that word that goes forth. Tie your way to prosperity. Father, I thank you. I believe that's a word from the Lord. We take it, I take it for myself. And I thank you, Lord, as those they tithe, I thank you for increasing their prosperity, especially this year. Thank you for increasing them, prospering them in Jesus' mighty name. And thank you for the seed that they sow shall be multiplied back to them in Jesus' name. Amen. I mean, you invest. I know a lot of people invest. They make the profit, they just keep. You expect God to prosper you, but profit, you just keep. Does it make sense? I don't know about you guys, okay? Anyway, I just teach because the pulpit is mine. I have the authority. I say what I want. Right? So prayer is a vital spiritual practice. Right? The Holy Spirit helps us in prayer. Last week, that's what we talked about. In Romans chapter 8, verse 26, the Spirit helps in our weakness. Right? Romans chapter 8 talks about He helps us in our weakness, in interceding and supplicating with unutterable groanings. The word groaning that cannot be uttered means, in the original Greek, means cannot be uttered in articulate speech. That means you cannot use your native language, your known language, to utter this groaning. But He helped us to groan. How is it going to help you if you don't want to speak in tongues? There's no other way. Amen. So unknown tongues are a gift to help pray for needs beyond articulate speech. Right? And Romans chapter 8, verse 26, let's look at it again. For the Spirit helps us. Help us to pray because of the groaning of burdens. How are you going to pray over these groanings that cannot be uttered in articulate speech? That means you cannot use Chinese or English language to speak out this groaning. There's no other way. He's not going to pray for you. The Holy Spirit does not pray for us. He helps us to pray. And if you don't pray in the known tongues, He cannot help you to pray concerning these groanings or burdens you have in your spirit. Amen. You never find in the Bible where the Holy Spirit preached the gospel, get people healed. No, it's always through somebody He gets them healed. Amen. So he helps you to get the person healed. He never healed anybody by himself, the Holy Spirit. Prayer is the same. Amen. Sormanske demra stohe, dichkanaihe, doncho nitsimembra. And there are three categories of prayer needs. Last week we talked about this. One, known needs. Pray in your native language for specific need. When you need finances, you know specific. You need healing, you know your needs. Let me tell you something, remind you again. Jesus spoke to Ken Hagen. He said, anyone in your church go for surgery, better pray. Somebody in our church had this mindset. Went for simple surgery. Never inform us. Never. You don't have to inform me. You can always inform Karen, Sheila, or Pastor Kyo-ing. Simple surgery. Pulse only. 31st night, he lost 2 pints of blood. Hemorrhage. He left the prayer. 31st night service. Drove all the way to NUH. He just dropped in front of them. A&E door. And at A&E, the doctors have pumped in 2 pints of blood. They did a scope from below, did a scope from the top, couldn't find anything. It means what? Very simple. Oppression. Plainly spiritual. Right? I told you before already, you're going for surgery, you better let us know. If not, a simple procedure can end up. It was very serious. The wife told me it was serious. After the 31st night, we went to the hospital. One thing, I said, I don't sense, pre-hour, I don't pick up anything. You know, and that belongs to the first category, prayer needs. If you're going for surgery, you better let us know. Right? Sometimes my reaction is, but you don't know. After that, I always pray. I always utter a prayer for you. If you go for surgery, because I don't want to be responsible. Simple surgery only. Pulse. And the person, if God didn't, I don't know whether God allowed it. Today, this person is supposed to fly to India. He finished. Because of the air pressure, drop in air pressure, increase in air pressure in India. Don't fool around. I just warn you all first, okay? To y'all, don't have to tell us one. Amen. Second kind, spirit birth groaning or burden. Pray in unknown tongues for unclear burdens. One time, Kenneth Hagin means Kenneth Hagin, was preaching in another state in the U.S. His daughter was giving birth. So the wife was with the daughter. He had a burden. He knew somebody in his family's life is in danger. 2 days later, the wife called. The doctor said, we'll try to save the mother. Cannot save the child. That was his daughter. 2 days before, he had the burden, he prayed. How to pray? You don't know who. He only knew one of his family members, do not know who. Life is in danger. He prayed. He was preaching somewhere else. He prayed until the burden lifted. How you pray if you do not know who? How do you pray if you do not know who is in danger? The only way to pray is unknown tongues. And some of you are marrying wives who do not want to speak in tongues. Somebody got it last week. I'm going to get my daughter-in-law to speak in tongues. You better do it, right? 2 days later, Brother Higgins' wife called. You know what he did? He said, I got the answer. She'll live, not die. The doctor tried to save his daughter, then the mother. Why? Kidney poisoning. He said, I don't think we can save the son. But later, when Brother Hing was traveling somewhere else to preach, he just got it in the spirit. He said, the child just born. Mother and son were fine. He was born, still alive today. His daughter is still alive today. Second kind, prayer needs. When you have a groaning, you have a burden. Groanings or burden cannot be uttered with articulate speech. There's no way you pray except in unknown tongues. you marry, God give you a wife who doesn't speak in a known tongue, against tongue. God help you, man. I don't know. Another time, he was traveling somewhere. Man, he rushing. You say, I reach back home, you know, I got to settle a lot of bank issue, payments. Last time, there's no online. Then, man, and he kept sensing, you know, somebody got thrown out of the car. And then he said, in those days, you know, he doesn't wear seatbelt. He said, I don't wear seatbelt. No. I mean, that's those days now. I'm just repeating what he said. You don't wear seatbelt, don't blame me. Okay? Now, he thought he's going to be thrown out of the car, so he began to wear seatbelt. Right? And he just uttered prayer of the first kind. Oh, Lord, whoever it is, thank you for protection. Lord. Then he just went his way. His niece, 25 years old. 1 week later, his niece, in the accident, got thrown out on the windscreen, died on the spot. Because he did not take time. Because he only sensed that somebody's life, somebody's going to be thrown out the windmill, but did not spend time to pray in the known tongues. Third kind, you don't know. Sometimes you won't know. Except when you spend time praying, and this, especially the third kind of needs, you don't pray, he doesn't take hold of you to pray concerning things that is to come. Amen. This is a praying church. God called this church to be a praying church. Thank you, Jesus. I didn't plan it on. I've been led into this. I think this is during the second or third year, beginning of the year, always the Holy Spirit had me teach on prayer. So how is the Holy Spirit going to help us to pray when we cannot utter our prayer in articulate speech? Speech in our native language, there's no other way except praying in known tongues, right? The only way for the Holy Spirit to help us to pray is to pray with a known tongue, which is a gift of the Holy Spirit, to help us to pray for things that cannot be uttered in articulate speech. Articulate speech means your own language, your native language. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. So we've been studying the most important things about prayer. In prayer today, we're going to talk about the Holy Spirit helps in intercession and supplication. Right? Intercession is for the lost. Supplication is for the saints like you. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Last week, we talked about He helps us. The Holy Spirit helps us. Right? Last week, the fourth reason is depend on the Holy Spirit to help us in prayer. But today, very specific, He helps us. I mean, it's another most important thing. He helps us in intercession and supplication. Amen. When you're praying for example, he prayed for his daughter. That's what I learned from. He just finished praying. When the phone call came, he did not panic and say, oh, let's pray. Call the church to pray. Call the whole world to pray. He just shouted and said, no, I got the answer. He said, I got the answer. She'll live and not die. Now come back to this. And this is the word he got from the Lord. She will live and not die. And his daughter is still alive today. Many years back, her godmother was in this church. One Sunday morning, before she was discovered with cancer, fourth stage, she prayed out, you live and not die. She said, oh, the last 4 days, I've been having this, you live and not die. She died. You know why? She walked out of this church. She has an attitude problem. She has always have an attitude problem, right? God put you in this church. This is where God will speak to you. She went there to hear. She said, oh God, you will live and not die. Oh, that's a word from the Lord. No. God spoke to you when she was praying with Karen. Last time we used to have morning prayer before service. And God spoke. Wow, that was a word from the Lord. Then why do you die? Brother Higgin, when he got a word from the Lord, his daughter is still alive today. His daughter is still alive. Brother Higgin died 20 years ago. Brother Higgin died in 2003. When the daughter was giving birth to the first child, that was long ago. And he received the word, praying in her own tongue, praying out, and Brother Higgin received the word, you live and not die. When the phone call came, said, your daughter, doctor is trying to save her life. Not going to save both, save the mother's life. He just shouted, he said, no, she'll live and not die. Amen. Two Sundays later, I told you the word came from the Lord. You don't want to miss church. Amen. You don't want to miss church because you marry somebody who wants to spend one Sunday or two Sundays in JB, okay? That Sunday could be the word of the Lord come forth for you. and all you need. And why did the word God has to come out on Sunday? Don't ask me. Why don't I speak to you personally? Don't ask me. It has to do with the spiritual environment. Here we all are in corporate service. We are worshiping the Lord. We are corporately worshiping the Lord. That's where the move of the Spirit is greater than when you are at home alone. That's when He speaks. When your life is in danger or your... I read the prayer report. John is in the U.S. It's coming up in the prayer report. Amen. Thank you, Father. He helps us in intercession and supplication. The intercession prayer is for the unsaved, reconciling them to God. Supplication, humbly pleading for believers, including oneself. You supplicate for the saints. You supplicate for others. You supplicate for yourself. Amen. Praise God. You know, when I came back, you know, after the holiday, in the prayer group, I went to the prayer group, I make myself pray, get back into prayer. And in my early morning, 4 a.m., 3 a.m., I pray. And I remember, right, people in our church, and I'm going to pray for specific people in the church. Amen. And I went to Guangzhou, came back. One morning, 4 a.m. in the morning, specifically pray for that girl who came here as a student. Specifically pray. Oh, my God. Amen. Thank you, Father. We give you praise. Supplicating for the unknown. Right? Intercession and supplication. It's the Holy Spirit's role. Guiding, inspiring this prayer. He inspires us. Amen. We need Him to help. First, He inspires us to pray. Then He helps us to pray. Amen. Praise God. Thank you, Father. The fifth most important thing in prayer is to depend on the Holy Spirit to help us to pray the prayer intercession and supplication. Intercession is interceding for the unsaved. An intercessor takes the place of another. Unsaved people cannot come to God and pray for themselves. They won't be able to pray. So we have to take their place. They are lost. Amen. You intercede for unbelievers, not for yourself. Actually, to intercede means to act between two parties, between God and unsaved, or somebody who's way backslidden. You intercede for them. Way backslidden, you intercede for them because they won't be praying for themselves. Amen. So you stand in the gap between God and them. So between two parties with the thought of reconciling the two of them. Therefore, we usually intercede for the lost, although one can intercede for the backslider, especially those so backslidden that they could not pray for themselves. Supplication is pleading for believers. It can be for yourself and other believers. Supplicate means ask humbly and earnestly. Therefore, we can make supplication for the saints, including ourselves. Earnestly, humbly, come before God. By praying in the Spirit in intercession, we can and oftentimes do intercede for unsaved loved ones or even unsaved people we know nothing about. In praying in tongues, we pray with the Holy Spirit's help and inspiration for lost people. Sometimes you pray for, you know, especially the early Pentecost, 1906, 1908, there could be somebody is praying here, suddenly you pray for a pastor in somewhere else, and saw his face, and saw his name, and saw his address, and then wrote to him. Now, those days, nowadays, you know, with the SMS, all that, the message is different. Amen. Praise the Lord. Supplication is pleading for believers. It can be for yourself and other believers. Supplicate means to ask humbly and earnestly. Therefore, we make supplication for the saints, including ourselves. By praying in the Spirit in intercession, we can and oftentimes do intercede for unsaved loved ones or even unsaved people who we know nothing about. In praying in tongues, we pray with the Holy Spirit help and inspiration for the lost. So making intercession also means taking the place of another. So sometimes in intercession, we felt that our soul was lost because we take the place of another. If you sense that, you to the Holy Spirit and pray. You are not lost. Remember, you are not lost. You sense you are lost. Don't come up for altar call or to be saved. No, no, no. Sometimes you sense as if you are lost. Praying in the Spirit. For the Holy Spirit to help us, we need to pray in the Spirit. Right? That means Holy Spirit inspired prayers. Amen. Groaning in prayer. Spirit-inspired utterance beyond words. Praying in unknown tongues by the Holy Spirit. That's how we pray, right? We pray in unknown tongues. Native language praying is praying with understanding as our knowledge allows. You should pray with understanding, but you only can pray with understanding as far as you know. You have knowledge, you know, you pray. Sometimes you know I need to pray for this person. I do not know how to pray. What is the person's need? So the only way is pray in known tongues. Amen. That's praying in the Spirit, right? Pray in the Spirit, you pray in the known tongues, you pray in the Spirit. Amen. When there's groaning, a burden, these are Spirit-inspired prayers. You have to pray in the Spirit, pray in the known tongues. You can pray in understanding, then you must go in the unknown tongues. Then it said, there is an area of groaning in prayer by the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. These groaning come out of the spirits and they escape our lips. It is the Holy Spirit helping us to pray. We can make intercession and supplication in groaning in other tongues as the Holy Spirit helps us. Intercession is usually for the lost. Supplication is praying for the saints, believers. It is important to note that all intercession and supplication are not done by groaning and praying in unknown tongues. It can be, you know, there's a groaning, but you can pray understanding. After, you need to go and pray in unknown tongues. Amen. And you must pray until the groaning is gone, is lifted, no more burden. Then when you hear, don't panic when you receive a phone call, you know, or some family members in danger. I mean, if you did not pray through, then you better panic. You panic also no use. Amen. Praise the Lord. But once you pray through, the burden is gone, you have to speak by faith. When you receive phone calls, oh, my doctor is trying to save her. No, say it. She'll live and not die. Say whatever you got in prayer. Amen. Whatever you got in prayer, that's the inspired word. That's the word of faith that you must release through your mouth when you receive a phone call saying that whoever's life is in danger. Amen. Praise God. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Let's go back to the person who had the hemorrhage. 2 pints of blood been poured in to him. I said, I don't sense, you know, you'll be in danger. He said, I told my wife, so no need to ask pastor to pray. No. Instruction is, you go for surgery, you better text us. Amen. I just discharged my responsibility. You die, don't blame me. I will know. If I don't sense anything, that does mean the instruction Jesus gave to Brother Higgins is, pray for anyone who goes for surgery and with medicine. So especially a kid having high fever, you better don't keep your mouth shut. Even don't just put medicine into him. You better pray for him. You better let us know to pray. Amen. Praise God. So we can also pray and should pray with our understanding as far as our knowledge goes. Remember, praying in the Spirit is by the inspiration and direction of the Holy Spirit. And many a time, He won't inspire you to pray if you don't spend time praying. I mean, if I don't spend time praying, if you go to a church, your pastor don't spend time praying, you better get out of those kind of churches. And there are things that He won't inspire me unless I spend time praying. So what do you do? You wake up 4 a.m., 3 a.m. in the morning. Pray lah, what else? Right now. If I don't pray, He won't inspire me. And many times like that, He won't inspire you unless you pray. But there are times that He burdens you. Brother, He can make a mistake. Burden me, He's too busy, you know. Too busy with. Because he said, 3 days later, I've got to travel and preach. I better settle some of the bills and some of the bank issues. So he's busy on the knees die. 25-year-old. Get into the prayer group. Amen. Well, if the Lord is speaking to you, you better obey Him. Very simple, right? If God's not speaking, then you ignore what I'm saying. 2, 3 a.m., I woke up. Yeah, praise the Lord. Saturday morning, I woke up 4 a.m. in the morning, or 3 something. I pray, man. My Lord, I press in to pray. I think of whoever it is who has need. How do I know? Because they told me. You don't tell me, I won't pray for you. I don't know if you have needs. If God don't tell me, you don't tell me, how do you expect me to know? Correct? Or? So I pray. I pray for you, you know, Joey. Yeah, 4 a.m., I think of you, pray for you. Oh, Ramon Chenebre. Pray good love, of course. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. So also after praying in the Spirit, we will know whether we are praying to build ourselves up spiritually and worship God or magnifying God. Sometimes there's nothing to pray. What you do is you just worship Him, fellowship with Him, magnify Him, right? Or another time you pray, you wait upon Him. Sometimes you wait upon Him, you magnify, He'll tell you, He'll show you things. Nothing happens in my family without me knowing, I will know. Nothing happens to you, I will know. Unless God don't tell me. Else I'll know. This is a working relationship I have with God as a pastor and as a child of God. This relationship I have with a Heavenly Father. Nothing happens in my family without me knowing. I will know. Your children, I will know. Amen. And I don't want to know. I want to, before I know anything, pray for them. Librushta mancha epskaninga pratsunonge stinkanai no chunai. Thank you, Jesus. So travail in prayer is like a woman. Amen. Sometimes because of groaning and the burden, we travail, right? And travail in prayer is like a woman who travails before childbirth. We may travail in the Holy Spirit as the Holy Spirit stirs us to bring about spiritual birth. Amen. So this is praying in the Spirit, right? Travail in prayer is like praying a woman in labor. Amen. As Holy Spirit inspires us to travail. And the Holy Spirit helps us pray for the sick. He also helps us to pray for the sick. Amen. I mean, Brother Higgins had this experience. He prayed until his stomach bloated up. Praying was somebody had a tumor in his stomach. And if you don't know, well, you think you have tumor. You stop praying and you go to the hospital. The doctor find that nothing happened to you. The guy who really had tumor will die. Supplicating for the saint. Praying for the sick. He said, I mean, this experience, a lot of experience he had, I don't have. A lot of things he never teach us, he went back to heaven, right? I mean, every experience you pray until you're as if you yourself have a tumor. You see, my stomach just bloated out. Man, as if I had a tumor. He prayed until it was gone. The person's tumor also gone. That is praying for some sick. But we don't want to wait to that stage. You get what I'm saying? That's why we pray. This is a praying church. We pray a lot. We can also make intercession, supplication for the sick. Now, let's read you some stories. Smith Wigglesworth's testimony. There was a man named Lazarus in Wales, England. He was a coal miner by day and a preacher by night. Until he had finally broken himself down physically. He had tuberculosis and had been bedfast for 4 years. Smith Wigglesworth was preaching in Wales, and one day he went up to the mountain to pray. As he was praying, God's Spirit told him to raise up Lazarus. And there was a real man named Lazarus. So Smith Wigglesworth found a few friends, went to Lazarus' home to pray for him. One night, Smith Wigglesworth was awakened. Now, Smith Wigglesworth died in 1948 already, so that was before 1948. Was awakened, and he was British, you know. And in those days, the move of God was in England. Thereafter, they all shift to America. One night, Smith Wigglesworth was awakened with all the symptoms of tuberculosis, the disease that afflicted Lazarus. Wigglesworth said he was so weak, he couldn't lift up a hand. Even his lungs were affected. Now, Smith Wigglesworth was just bearing the burden of Lazarus. But I mean, it feels as if he was sick. He kept saying. That's why if you are sick, you pray. Maybe it's not you, it's somebody else. You get what I'm saying? Maybe your family members. Somehow, Wigglesworth managed to roll out of bed onto the floor. He began crying out to God until he got deliverance over that thing. Wigglesworth was making prayer and supplication for Lazarus. Wigglesworth and 7 other people went to Lazarus' home the next day. Wigglesworth told the others to circle the sick man's bed. He said, you form a circle around his bed and repeatedly say the name of Jesus. As they did, the power of God fell in that room 5 different times and then lifted. The 6th time the power of God fell, the man Lazarus cried out, I've been bitter in my heart and I know I have grieved the Holy Spirit. You better forgive. Whoever it is, I don't care what past you grew up, your parents you grew up with, you're not going to live long. I have grieved the Spirit of God as Lazarus repented, both he and the bed shook with the power of God. I mean, I haven't experienced that. I've experienced one time the lady with fourth stage cancer. Husband bought a bed, put in his home. She was lying on his bed. She couldn't speak. I went to room and I prayed. She was praying. I was praying. Power of God came down 6 times and lifted. Then the next day, I called Karen Basigyoeng and there, her godma. And let's go to her home and pray. 15 minutes, I went to the balcony. I said, so how are your God? I said, yeah, that's what I sense. But Lazarus repented 6 times. I totally forgotten this story that, you know, Bradigan told about Smith Wigglesworth. 6 times it came down on that lady. She died. Many a times it's not a problem with God able to heal you. The power was prayed down. In that room when I was praying, I was alone praying with her. She couldn't speak. She said, I got right. I said, you write down. She wrote down. She said, a blanket came down from heaven on me and lifted. Asked how many times? She said, 6 times. My heart said, oh, finish. So, you know, I know about praying alone. I know about, you know, getting a few people to go and pray. I learned all this from Brother Higgin. He got 8 ladies to pray. He'll pray heaven on earth. He prayed a lady who was sitting on a wheelchair. The power of God lifted her up, shifted her out. But she couldn't get healed. She said, I dive in from this wheelchair. She fell back onto the wheelchair. She stretched forth her hand and reached out the wheelchair. She fell right back in the wheelchair. She died sitting on the wheelchair. Much later, it's not the power of God. Not a problem with the power. It's not a problem with our prayer. The problem is you need to make adjustment. You better make adjustment. Amen. And don't say, I've never prayed down the power of God in that room. Right? 6 times, the blanket came down. Amen. I mean, I wasn't startled, neither wasn't surprised because I read all these stories, Brother Hinn's story. I knew what to do. I knew 6 times lifted something, you know, the power came down, the person couldn't receive. I mean, this lady could have received two young kids. I knew the power came down, she would have, she, if she can receive it, she'll be healed. She couldn't. I got no choice, but I have to call the others to come to pray. The moment 15 minutes into prayer, that's it, I knew it finished. I knew she won't live. So did I continue to pray? Oh, brother, no, we went home. We went for lunch. Pastor, why haven't you continued to pray? No, I couldn't because the Holy Spirit is not helping me. Amen. I couldn't find out why she couldn't receive the power of God that came down. She said, you know, this is a story in the Old Testament whereby I know it's the power of God. She said, like a blanket that came down. Where do you find a story in the Old Testament? When Elijah, the mantle just came drop on him. When Elijah was caught up in heaven, the mantle just dropped on him. And that was the anointing of God. And he took the outer coat, dropped on him. He took the outer coat, he just swiped the River Jordan, and the River Jordan was parted. That's in Old Testament. When something, a blanket that came down from heaven, that's the power of God. What was it for? For her healing. Why it came down? Because I was praying there. Why she couldn't get receive it? I don't know. You God didn't tell me until now. I couldn't find out why because she's not from our church. She wandered, you know, church like wandered from here when she was dying, fourth stage cancer, to go wander everywhere, to go look for answers of too late. Amen. Worse. Oh, I think I know why. A pastor, you go to the wrong church, you wander the wrong church, she tell you the wrong thing, you finish. Pastor told her, seek God for a vision. She seek God for a vision. She had a vision. She saw in the vision, she saw Jesus. Jesus said, I'm going to come and heal you. I knew she'll die. Because it's not scripture. Scripture said, by his stripe you were healed. He's not going to come and heal you. No. You believe you receive your healing now. Then it may manifest down the road. But once you had a vision, that's not in line. I don't care what vision you have. It's not. Then you judge it by the word. And he took a woman, sought God for a vision. Both of them had a vision. They saw the same thing. You know why? Deception, lies of the devil. I saw Jesus in a vision. He said, he's going to heal me. I said, finish. I didn't tell her. I said, finish. Both of them died at the age of early 40s. Same thing. And both have one common problem. Very hard-headed, strong woman. She is the boss of the house. You know what's the problem? in submission. One of them been to Bible school in UK. You don't want to have your ways, okay? Always think you're right. You have your say-so, right? You better learn to submit to one another. Third one. Husband didn't want to go on a trip. She insisted on going on a New Zealand trip with her brother and sisters. They ran a camper van. A camper van overturned. Her sister was paralyzed. She was paralyzed. Because her sister was a young Christian, she was healed. But she, on the wheelchair. And then she keep wondering, oh, no love in the church, wonder in our church. Came to the church, I lay hand on her, I said, the power of God is going in right now. I didn't know she was in pain. I said, I just lay hand on her, I just talked to the church. I said, the power of God is going into right her. I didn't pray, oh, in Jesus. I said, the power of God is going. After that, she told me the power of God went in and sucked out the pain. You know, but she wasn't healed. But she was in pain. She said from there on, the pain was gone, internal. No more pain. But she wasn't healed. Because paralyzed is not sickness. To be healed, you need a working of miracle. It's not healing. You know, because healing is a disease condition. You are sick, you need healing. When you're paralyzed or you're born with certain things missing, it's not healing. It needs a working of miracle, a gift of the Spirit manifestation. Like the student who came to school here, had an accident in Shanghai, pelvis already cracked. Doctor said, I need to cut it up and join it back. That was a working miracle. It wasn't healing. I lay hands on her, and she was completely healed. So, let's come back to Smith, because the sixth time the power of God fell, Lazarus repented. Prayer of Smith, because the others helped to bring deliverance to this man who had been close to death. I told you my story. Now, let's Brother Higgins' story. Tell you another one. I pray for people who have tumors. Sometimes it will swell up on the inside of my body like a tumor. When I was praying for them, I would pray until it disappeared. When it left me, it left them. This kind of praying comes from the unction, the anointing of the Holy Spirit. You have to depend upon the Holy Spirit. We are helpless by ourselves. Amen. This is a praying church. We don't pray, it's not going to happen. And many times we pray a lot for y'all. A lot of things are prevented. Amen. Praise God. Thank you, Father. We give you praise. Next thing about the Holy Spirit help us is, you know, to pray is to edify yourself by praying in the known tongues. Jude verse 20, build yourself up by praying in the Holy Spirit, or build your faith up by praying in the Holy Spirit. When you pray in the Holy Spirit, pray in the known tongues, it builds your spirit up. When your spirit is built up, your faith is built up. Amen. Second scripture is 1 Corinthians 14:4. Speaking in the known tongue edifies, build, or charge yourself up. Praying in the known tongues will bring about spiritual growth, because praying in the known tongue strengthens your spirit and faith, enables you to grow spiritually. So the sixth most important thing in prayer is to take time to build yourself by praying much in the known tongue. He helps us to pray prayer intercession and supplication. Jude verse 20. But you, beloved, building yourselves up on your most holy faith. Pastor, I got no faith. That's where the problem is. You know, faith only comes by hearing. Amen. But once faith comes, you need to build up your most holy faith. Amen. Else your faith can be weak, right? How do we have strong faith? Build up your spirit, man, by praying in the Holy Ghost. How do you pray in the Holy Ghost? By praying in the known tongues. Praying in the Spirit is praying in the known tongues, and it will build up your spirit, and your faith will be built up. A weak spirit is weak faith. Praying in the Holy Spirit is praying in the known tongues. Paul makes this statement in Jude and 1 Corinthians 14:4, right? He who speaks in tongues edifies or builds himself up, but he who prophesies edifies the church. Amen. So, many times in preaching, now, I told you last Sunday a word that came. That's a prophetic word. Tie yourself to prosperity. Amen. One element of speaking tongue in a prayer life does not involve praying for someone else, but it's purely a means of personal and spiritual edification. Amen. You can edify yourself anytime during the day. Just while you're doing other things, just pray in the known tongues. Under your breath, just pray to edify yourself. It does something for us spiritually to pray in other tongues. We need that kind of praying. We will not be able to edify others without being edified ourselves. The more we pray in other tongues and build up our spirit, the more sensitive we will be in the Holy Spirit and in the things of the Spirit. Amen. We pray, He will show us things to come. That's why I went to the hospital. I said, hey, 31st December, we pray 1 hour. I don't sense any danger. He's discharged. And the doctor still couldn't find anything wrong. But, you know, that night, I mean, can you imagine that, you know, he was flying to India and then and he bleeds. He'll be dead, I guess. Thank you, Father. We give you praise. Amen? Praise the Lord. The more we pray in our tongues to build our spirit, the more sensitive to the things of the Spirit. Praying tongues makes us sensitive to the Holy Spirit when He desires to manifest spiritual gifts through us. Help us to be sensitive. When He manifests the gift, we can sense it and yield to it because our spirit is strong and it's easy to yield to the Holy Spirit and other people be blessed. Amen. Brother Egan told the story. He was too busy, you know, busy, busy, busy. He sensed somebody who was thrown out of the car window, right? He didn't take time to pray. His niece at the age of 25 flung out of the car window and died. I think this is the niece that stayed in his home for a couple of years. Sobrach te kere mende, doncho nombra. It's kadangi, sto robokoso noe. Thank you, Father, we give you praise. Amen. I mean, you know, 31st night, you know, December, we were praying 1 hour here. Cannot be, there, you know, is there any danger with you that you know, the Holy Spirit won't show one? Right? So I told her, told this person, I said, I don't sense anything. You should be fine. Huh? Right? But suppose discharge, and another day, man, heavy bleeding again. The hospital kept this person for a couple more days. Right? But anyway, this person still say, oh yeah, I have to fly this Sunday, go to India. After his extended stay in hospital, I told his wife, say, you better tell him, don't fly. Thank you, Jesus. So benefits of praying in tongues, right? Personal edification builds your spirit and faith. Spiritual sensitivity increases the awareness of the Holy Spirit so that the Holy Spirit gives when manifest, you will yield to it, you will help manifest gift of the Holy Spirit also. When we pray much, amen, that's where the Holy Spirit also will manifest. Right? The gifts of the Holy Spirit manifest because the church prays. When the gift of the Holy Spirit manifests, it manifests the vocal gifts of the Holy Spirit, right? There are prophecy, tongues, interpretation of tongues. Then we must yield to the Holy Spirit's prompting to manifest this gift. When somebody told me what the word the Lord came for, the person is yielding to the Holy Spirit and spoke it. Tie your way to prosperity. Amen. To manifest this gift. Amen. Thank you, Lord. So we must stay sensitive to the Holy Spirit so He can manifest the gifts of the Spirit through us as He desires. This is especially true if we are to be used in the operation of the vocal gifts of the Holy Spirit. For example, prophecy, tongues, interpretation of tongues. But we have a role to play for the vocal gift to be manifested through us. The believers must yield to the prompting of the Holy Spirit and speak out what the Holy Spirit has given them. Amen. So, the importance of sensitivity, how you be sensitive, pray in the known tongue. Stay sensitive to the Holy Spirit. It's crucial for the manifestation of the spiritual gifts. It requires regular practice and yielding to His prompting. Amen. You want to yield to His prompting. Amen. May it prompt you, don't go that way. You're on holiday, you better don't go that way. Amen. So, the key takeaway is pray in the Spirit, allow the Holy Spirit to help us intercede and supplicate. Edify yourself. He'll help you, build you up, build your faith up through praying in the known tongue, and He'll help you to stay sensitive so that you can yield to His prompting easily. Amen. Thank you, Jesus.